I know I don't usually do this, but I have a definition. It's what I need to read from this. My wife was going to take my phone. She usually does and puts it in her purse. And I says, no, I need that tonight. So she'll understand a little fully here in a moment. You know, we have conversation, my wife and I, a lot. And usually when she'll ask me, who are you preaching to tonight? Well, I want to tell you folks, tonight I'm preaching to sinners. So who does that include? That includes us all. There is two types. One that's been saved by the grace of God, which I have been saved, my soul is in fellowship with the Lord. Those that are sinners that have not been saved. And that is the sum of it. That there is, you know, either saved or you're not, but we are all sinners. The flesh that I carry around, it is sinful. It is sinful. So am I preaching to you tonight? Yes. Am I preaching to me? You say we're doing this, but there's three pointing back at me. Yes. So this message is a message to each and every one of us. We use a term, I've heard it many times through all of this pandemic, this COVID-19. We use a term that, boy, I'll be glad when things get back to normal. We've said it. I know this brother here, I think Brother Brown said, I'll be back to what we get back to whatever the new normal is. Well, I wanted to go a little further with that, and we need to be looking for the original normal. The original normal. And I'll get to that in just a moment. I want to give a definition. And the one I liked here was, who are normal persons? And the normal person defined most solely on the common sense and logic. We like, you know, somebody, we say, well, they don't have no common sense. And we see a world that we're living in, it seems like common sense is not a characteristic for a lot of people anymore. But it's what the definition says. It's one of common sense and logic. They do not understand anything that does not fall into those categories. Normal people read the rules so that they will know how to follow them. They will read the rules. Now, we live in a world in that the rules are changing. And if we look back from the mankind, our existence here in this world, our normal has changed all the way down through the ages of time. What is normal for my family, you may not think is normal for your family. And by the way, my family's not normal. But we're a mess. But if I look around this room, I would bet every one of you families are going to have the same comeback with that. Your families are going to be a mess. What is normal? What is normal? If you go to Russia, the normal there is going to be different than it is here. So what are we really looking for? What are we really looking for when we say, I'll be glad when things get back to normal? If we don't and look at this and try to dissect it and evaluate it, then what the Lord has done or what the Lord has allowed to take place, well, we will not have learned anything from it. I want us to go to what I would consider the original normal. And that original normal that God would want us to all long for, what he would like for us to take and meditate on. We sung a song tonight, Heaven, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. I believe that's what it was. But we talked about the what we were looking forward to is a heaven, a paradise. Well, brothers and sisters, there was what was considered God's normal, what God expected for you and I to live by. And that was in the Garden of Eden. I want us to, and I asked you, now you see where I'm going to with this, do you not, brother? I asked Brother Derek, and I'll bring it to you, how much time transpired from Genesis 2 to Genesis 3, the end of Genesis 2 to end the Genesis 3, when it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You know, this was the time that they partook of the fruit, and sin entered into the world. But from before that time, did it go from there to there? I would hope not. And I'm of the opinion that they had some time in the garden, that they were under God's normal. They were under a perfect God, a perfect world. It was paradise. It was walking with God. You know what he's talking about? God was walking with them and talking with them. And when they come around after they had partaken of the fruit, he'd come in the cool of the day. And things had changed. But what we want to go back is we want to reflect on what that normal was before the fall of man. That is the focus. That is the normal that we need to focus upon. Even today in 2020, that is still the normal that we need to be looking for. That's where our eyes need to be set, upon a perfect paradise, a perfect God, a perfect, perfect picture of love, a perfect picture of sinlessness, of righteousness. All the things that Derek has been preaching to us, and he even brought it to our attention tonight, how special the characteristics of God is. It is beyond our comprehension. It is a study that is greater than any one of us can have the time here on earth to study out. He's awesome. He's amazing. He is one to be desired. That is the normal that we have to we want to adapt in our lives. And that can be had. That can be attained. That is what drives us. You want to talk about what drives us? What is going to take us into the future? What is going to change the lives of our friends around about us? Is for us to have that focus, that life that we're walking, that normal, what we consider normal, is praising an amazing God. Amen. Praising Him to the uttermost, to take it, uplifting Him. As it says, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so ought the Son of Man to be raised. Amen. And that is the life that that lost people need to see us walking. And here's the thing. I want to understand this. We have heard beautiful messages. I want to stop here before I get to too far ahead of myself. We have heard some beautiful messages. I'm done with that. Brother Jeremy last Wednesday night preached a beautiful message. Brother Derek, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, I've stood up in that seat there and made mention of it many times. Brothers and sisters, and I'm not exalting him above what God does for him. It's God's message. It's God's message that he uses this man as a mouthpiece. But he has repeatedly brought to us what God has to say. Amen. Do we listen? Are we listening? Because we're still hearing him say, we need to have the spirit of revival. Why do we need to be revived? We should already be upon that. If we were looking at this the way it was, if we are striving for that perfect normal that we talked about, that paradise, that we know that is our home to be, that heaven is going to be just even greater than what the Garden of Eden was, that is our long home, that is what we are anticipating, that is what we are looking forward to. Because God saved our soul and we are in fellowship with Him. Wow, can you understand what that means? We are in fellowship with an almighty God. He knows us by name. He knows us by name. He knows every thought that we are thinking. He knows every move that we make. He knows our direction. He knows our path even before we get there. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring. He knew that my wife was going to fall and break her ankle even before she was born. Now, I use that as an example, but that is something that's close to all my mind. But let's take that same example and use it across every one of your lives. The do's and the don'ts, the ups and the downs in your lives. God knew those things before they even happened. That is the God that we need to uplift and before a lost and dying world. See, God, Lord help me, as Brother Derek said a few weeks ago, for this not to be taken the wrong way. We don't have to. We don't have to. God didn't have to. God don't need us. Now, I'm not saying that the wrong, but so hear me out and just don't take that. Well, what's he saying? That God don't need us. God loves us beyond anything. He died for us. There is a love there that this world does not recognize, that he loves mankind. But do you understand that if I wasn't here, if I didn't exist, His plan, His holiness, His righteousness, His goodness was still as powerful and as strong as it ever was and ever will be. I don't affect that in any way. This brother don't affect. None of us affect God's power and His righteousness in any way. We need to desire after that because we want to. Because we have a desire that is what we have bought into. We understand that is the right. But we don't have to. And that is what I want to bring us to this in the Garden of Eden. They were given direction. We talked about the normal. They were given a standard. The rules. The rules were set in place in the Garden of Eden. And they were given direction not to do that. But the thing of it was, they were given the ability to stop and to go the opposite way. They didn't have to listen to the Lord. You don't have to listen to the Lord. And sometimes I don't think we do. Well, let me go for there just for a moment, because I said we're going to speak to the sinners. I want to take this in two stages. Right now I want to go to those that are saved by the grace of God. And let's take this thought. You ever hear a kid say to a babysitter? Babysitter is a good example. I don't have to do what you say because you're not my father. Or you're not my mother. I don't have to do that. You ever babysit any kids that would come across with that line to you? Yeah, they say, I don't have to. Don't have to. Well, you know, sometimes I think that we are the same way as church members. This is our babysitter. I'm just going to say it. Well, look at it is. He has been put in stewardship over us. He's the one, he is our spiritual leader. He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that directs us, and we go to him. He has a big responsibility. He preaches week after week from this very pulpit. And he says, you need to. You need to. How many times have you heard that from the from behind this? We need to do this. We need to do that. And basically walk out this door and we don't do it. So basically we were looking at him and says, we don't have to because you're not my father. Well, he's getting his message from the Father. He's getting his message from the Father. And the thing of it is, I've brought this to your attention many times. And this is once again, a church that is what we would say successful. One that is on fire for the Lord. I've been in my day, being a preacher's kid and being a pastor of a couple of churches myself, I have seen the ups and downs in the church. But I want to tell you one characteristic of a church that is on fire for the Lord. They listen to what is said from this pulpit, and they go home, and they take it home, and they come back, and you can see that message had an effect on them because their life had changed, and they had listened to what thus saith the Lord from God the Father, not from him, but from God. So in a sense, we look at him from time to time when we come back in here, and we don't see a change in our worship and what we do. We look at him and it's like, I don't have to listen to you because you're not my father. He's a man of God. Jeremy preached here last Sunday. He's a man of God. I want you to say, God, give me this message. I am not smart enough to do this on my own. I have to have God to lean on. And it's a word from God. So we need to take these messages and just stop shrugging them off. And when we leave these doors, understand that it is important that message that is preached is to be applied. It's not just to be going in to fill the airspace. It is to be applied to our lives. And when we come back in the door, a change is made. If he tells us we need to pray, we better come back that next Sunday, and boy, you better see a bunch of people that have prayed. You better see a bunch of people that found their prayer closet and prayed because God had spoke to his heart and said, this church needs prayer. So Derek, I want you to go tell young people to pray. That's important. That's how it works. And that's how we're going to go ahead. That's how we're going to overcome. That's how we're going to evangelize this world. That's how we're going to get the message out to the lost. That's said even in our own pulpits. They're going to see that we have bought into it, that we love the Lord, and we're serving him not because we cannot. We have the option not, but we do it because we want to. We do it because we see the need. Let me give you one example, and I don't like to use simple examples, but it's how you get the message across. Brother Terry, you probably appreciate this one as much as anybody here. I know. Doesn't it just do your heart good when you come in from work, and I'm sure to everyone here, and the kids have washed the dishes, and they weren't told to, because they saw the need. There was dirty dishes in the sink, and they needed to be cleaned, and they saw on their own, without being instructed to clean the dishes, or to do the laundry, or something of that nature. That same principle is when we're serving the Lord, God wants us to do it because we see the need, not because we are told to or we're hounded to. We talk about revival, and that's what it is. We need to be revived to that. We ought to be automatically doing that anyway. Do you get where I'm coming from? Do you understand the thought there? Shame on us. Shame on us. This is important. This is very important. And if we don't buy into this, that is how, you know, I said, God don't need us. God can do it on His own. He chooses to use us. And if we haven't totally bought in to His ways, if we haven't totally bought into the gospel, if we haven't totally bought into that they need to be saved, then we have a testimony that we have been down that road. We know what it is to be lost, and we found the Lord precious to our soul. If we are not total about that, if they don't see that in our daily lives, if that don't reflect, God can't do His work. I mean, let me back up. I missaid that. God can do His work, but He chooses us to help those people. You know what? God could save the entire world without us, but He chose to use us. He chose. Now think about this. The Almighty God of the universe looked down from His throne upon high, and He looked at me. He saved my soul, and He says, I saved you unto good works. I saved you unto good works. You know, and as James says, I will show you my works by my actions. To know to do good and to do it not is a sin. He chooses us. He chooses to use us. But who does the work? The Holy Spirit, God Himself. You know, so many times people think that churches are dictators. You got to do this. It's the message. The gospel message is will appear to that. It will appear to say that. You have to do this. But you don't. You cannot. And the repercussions are going to be devastating. They're going to be devastating. But see, that's what, when Adam and Eve fell, when Adam and Eve took with that, they exercised that ability. They went contrary to God. And they, you know, the devil says, well, if you take of this fruit, you won't surely die. So he was in question there, and they didn't have to, and they didn't. What happens, before I move on, what happens if we don't? He didn't have to be here tonight. He don't have to be our pastor. But he does it because he loves us. But he has the option to say, no, I don't want to, and he can walk away. There are so many people in our churches that have done that and still doing that because the devil gets a hold of them and they go contrary. But he does it because he sees the need. He loves the Lord. That is what the world has to see from us that have been saved. Even though we have the sinful nature, we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and the world needs to see that. Because, yeah, we have the option not to. Sinner friend, the warning has went out many times from this pulpit. I remember one time, and I tell you every time, there's a chair there, the warning went out from his grandfather. I heard the warning, and I got under conviction. The warning that you must be saved. Now, what is salvation? What happened there in the Garden of Eden when they partook of that tree? What happened? Because we see that the Lord was coming in the cool of the day, and he talked to Adam and says, Adam, where are you at? Why are you hiding from me? Because, see, what happened there, there was a break in communication, a break in fellowship. What is salvation? A regained in fellowship with the Lord. He desires. Why was mankind even created? Why did He create us in the first place? To have a people that will serve Him and to be in fellowship, to love Him because of who He is, not because of I'm forced to. A fellowship with the Lord. That's what salvation is. A regained fellowship. Fellowship was broke. There was a severed there. There was God is not available. See, the Lord saved my soul, He'd become available for me to cry out to and to pray. But that was lost. And that befell upon all mankind. That befell upon us all. God desires. He desires so much to be in fellowship with you. To all of us. That is His desire, is to have fellowship with mankind. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? The Almighty God of this world, the Creator, desires to have fellowship with us. That is what salvation is. That is what salvation is, a regained in fellowship with the Lord. And it takes, just think about it. We are sinners, and we fall short of the glory of God. Whenever I was preached to, standing right there, I'd realized that who I was and what I wasn't, and who God was and how great He was. And there was a separation there, and that affected me. That affected my soul. It was a godly sorrow. It cut down deep within my soul. And I knew that there was that separation from God. That was miserable. I went that way for 2 years. For 2 years of my life, that was my life. I understood. That's what we talk about, the age of accountability. I understood that I was separated from God, and it consumed me. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Logan? It consumed you. He just been saved, but that for the time he was praying, that was not a good time. That was a miserable time to know that you were separated from God. And if you died, that hell would be your home. But see, today, just like I do, He knows the Lord. That fellowship was regained. Now, is He perfect? No, He's still in a carnal body, but His soul has been redeemed. His soul has been redeemed. That's what took place. That's what we talk about. Isaiah didn't know what being lost was. That's what being lost is. It's separated from God. It's separated from God. Is He going to force you to? No, you'll not see anyone that God will take by the shirt tail or by the back of the shirt and pull them up to an altar of repentance. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be what it's about, because, see, He is God, and He deserves all honor and praise. He deserves all. And whenever we get to that knowledge, whenever we get to that shape, it will bring us to our knees. It will cause us to mourn. It will cause us to be miserable. See, that is the world that we live in today doesn't want that uneasiness. I see the day that it will come that it's going to be difficult for us to preach the gospel because it's going to cause people to be uneasy. It's there today. It's there today. Now, I know that this is a different denomination, but there's a tent revival going on there in Nineveh. And it's a Pentecostal. But it's in the airways there in the neighborhood there. And someone commented on Neighborhood Nineveh or whatever it is, market or whatever. Well, I wish these people would just ruin my Saturday and Sunday night. I can't even sit out on my porch and relax without hearing a bunch of people moaning and crying and hooping and hollering. So, you know, being that said, people are still turned off to that. They don't want to hear that. It's something that is not appealing to this society today, so it's coming a day that we're going to even hit more persecution for that good word to go out because of that godly sorrow. If you're here tonight and that godly sorrow is set in, that is a good thing. Don't fight it off. Because it is God, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, coming and speaking to you, calling you out and saying, I want to be in fellowship with you. I want you to come and be a part. I want to be able to talk with you and walk with you as he did with Adam and Eve there in the garden. I want to be able to be your God. I want to be able to help you through trials and tribulations. I want to give you a heavenly home. I want to turn you home to paradise with me. Can you just see the thief on the cross? He looks over at him and says, today you are going to be with me into paradise. Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what that thief on the cross? He never come down off that cross and got baptized. You know, we talk about baptism, and that's a story for another time. But you know what I'm saying? He was there. He went to paradise. He had witnessed that fellowship there hanging on the cross at the end of his life. He had regained that fellowship and understood that now God was his number one friend. Number one friend. I like that term, you know? God being our number one friend. He needs to be, and he can be this evening. If you're lost and undone, God is with outstretched arms wanting to save your lost soul. But see, it's not just a walk and talk and where I'm going to decide I'm going to make a change. See, there's godly sorrow, because whenever we talk about who we are and who he is, there is so much of a contrast. There is so much of a difference. We don't even deserve to be in his presence. You know, I know a lot of people, and I know that we've heard a lot of big, famous people. But you know what? We can't even be in their presence because of who they are. They won't, but see what? God supersedes them all. There's not no earthly figure that is any greater than my Lord. And he has no restrictions. He has no restrictions. He's got opened arms and said, come, whosoever will come. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will come. That's all of us. He's desiring to save such that is lost. You don't have to, but you need to want to. There again, back to what I said, I'm telling you what you need to do. And that's what the gospel tells us, what we need to do. If you don't, what's the repercussions if you don't? What if you don't listen to this message tonight? What if it doesn't sink in and you want... do you not want this? You know, and I say that, I've been asked to preach at many funerals. I know you talked about it the other day about preaching funerals. I do listen to you. It's very difficult. We preach funerals of those that we don't know the state of their soul. There are worldly knowledge of anybody that dies, they're going to go to heaven. Their family's already got them going to heaven, and they'll talk about how they're going to be to heaven, but they like to drink so much they put a beer in the coffin with them. And you know that them lifestyles don't even come together, but they have put them to heaven. That they, when they die, everybody says, well, I know I'll go see them some other day because I'm going to go to heaven. But hold on a second, I got to go get drunk this weekend. And to celebrate the death, you know, it just two and two don't make you just don't make four. So we know that everybody wants to go to heaven. So why, when I'm preaching this tonight, and I'm telling you the right way to get to heaven, the way, the only way to get to heaven. Why would it not be something that would be appealing to you? Why would it not be something you would say, I don't want to do that? There is, like we've said, there's no one that's been saved by the grace of God that's never said that I'm sorry that I did that. Anyone that's been saved will tell you how great it is and how thankful they are that God had the time to come down and graciously save their soul, because we weren't deserving of it. So we know just by the fact of everybody wants to go to heaven. Well, I'm telling you this evening the proper way, the only way that you're going to get there. And that's through true repentance. Repentance and faith and the Almighty Creator of the universe, my God. Is that going to come without sorrow? Is it just going to come because you decide to do it? You're just going to make a decision? No. But see, salvation is so available. Well, let me tell you how and I know I've been saved, and some people say, well, you're saved, and it's easy for you to say. But whenever you, I told you I prayed for 2 years. The moment I come to the end of that 2 years of bargaining, the moment I decided I was nothing, that there was nothing that I had, there's nothing I could do, nothing. When I come to end of myself, as the term is, I turned it all over to God. And I understood that He was who He truly was. I saw the moment the Lord saved my soul. This is what you, what we need to strive for in our in your seeking to the Lord. Who He is and how undeserving we are and how we have nothing to give Him. My words is, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm just going to have to die and go to hell. And He says, yes, you are. He says, but that's what I needed to hear. And He reached down and He graciously saved my soul because I come to the end of myself. But see, I was miserable. It wasn't just a decision. God accepted me. I didn't accept God. I desired Him. I wanted Him. I wanted Him more than anything. It consumed my being. I would go home and I would go to bed and I would lay up late at night because it was consuming my being. It was anything that only anything was on my mind. I would get away from it maybe for a little while, maybe at school or we'd go do something. But it wasn't. Whenever I got back, especially when I was by myself and alone, it come back. It come back, and it was a miserable 2 years. Boy, I was bargaining. Lord, if you save me, I'll do this. If you save me, I'll do this. Lord, if you save me, I'm going to be the best Christian ever was. I'm not going to be like them other Christians I run around with. You know, I was raised in church, and I run around with church kids, and they were sometimes some of the best kids around. So I was going to be better than them. Lord, you saved me. I'm going to be better than them kids. It wasn't about me being better. It wasn't about that at all. It was about me humbling my heart, humbling myself before an almighty God, understanding that I didn't deserve it. Hell is full of people that didn't come to that knowledge. Hell is full of those that says, I don't have to. I'm not going to. I don't have to. And you're right. You don't. And as long as you have that attitude, you never will. But see, that's why I just explained to you my testimony of salvation. I desired it because I seen it to be right. I seen it that God was, I acknowledged Him to be who He truly is. I needed Him. I the gospel, the Holy Spirit pierced my heart. That gospel message that was preached from this very pulpit right here, it set in to my heart and let me know that I was lost and undone and I was doomed. That my life here was just nothing, that I might live to be a certain age, but when I died and left this world, that my home was going to be in hell. That's that was enough to just, oh my, I can't even put words to how uncomfortable, how miserable I was. See, the salvation that has been taught a lot of times in this world today, we talked about what is normal. That normal has been become easyism, as we call it. Let's put some. We can't say hell. We can't preach fire and brimstone. That might offend somebody. Brothers and sisters, lost people, the gospel will offend people. It has begin from the beginning of time. It's going to. It hurts. But you see, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I've been on both sides. This is the best side. Is it always a bed of roses? Did salvation come and everything just went smooth as silk? No, I have trials and tribulations. But I can tell you one thing, a lot of my trials and tribulations, I'll go to pray about it and I don't get three words out before the Lord hits me right upside the head with, remember? Remember that sin? Remember that you did? You serve me. Serve me, and you know, you'll understand that what you know, it'll be better. Leviticus, the 18th chapter of Leviticus. You talk about, this is the day and age, this is 2020. We talked about Adam and Eve, the beginning of time. This scenario, this picture that I've portrayed to you this evening has not changed. It's the same. Let me tell you, read to you what in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, what the Lord had to tell Moses. There again, to tell the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and I am the Lord. That is the walk, and that is the desire that I had to have. I had to see that my way as a sinner, even this was talking to those children, but I had an option not to do it. But I had to see, I had to desire that more than anything. I had to know that was right for myself. I had to know that the Holy Spirit was dwelling in me for a reason. I had to not turn away that gospel message that was piercing my soul. I had to know that that God was God. And I had to buy into this ideal all the way. It wasn't something that, did I do it because my mom and dad told me to? They were telling me to. But see, I had to get beyond that. I had to understand that mom and dad were telling me to do it, but I could not focus and let my whole salvation wasn't going to come because mom and dad told me to. It was going to come because I understood that I needed it. If mom and dad was not even around, I still needed it. Was the preacher, Brother Lewis Holland, did I have to get it because he's preaching to me right here and he told me that I was lost and I needed it? It was good that he told me that and the Holy Spirit took effect on my soul, but I wasn't going to get saved because of that. It was because I had to buy into it that I was lost and undone and that I wanted it for myself more than anything in this world. I had to want that. But see, I was given an option not to. But see, that's what makes it so precious. God doesn't want those that are robots. He could, but he doesn't want that. He wants those that are yearning after him because of a true love that wants him because of who he is. That's what it's all about. And I believe that there'd be a lot more people saved if they could come to that conclusion. I know they would be. I know they would, because that takes away all the other clutter. That takes away mom and dad. You know, when I was saved there at Freedom Number 2 in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, I was on the front bench about middle ways. And I remember that service well. There was my granddaddy. I love him. Good man, song leader there. He was right there next to me after I come to myself. My mom and dad was around. The whole altar area was full. But it had nothing to do with all of those people. It was because I was one-on-one with the great one, as Brother Scott would say, Brother Scott Hoskins. I lost myself. It was just me and God for just a few moments there. However long it was, I don't know, but he saved my soul there. But it was not about all those people praying. It was good that they were there, but I had to get beyond that. I couldn't have them as a crutch that I was going to fall back at because my granddaddy was a good song leader and a good deacon of the church. My dad was a preacher, and I couldn't hold on to those facts that they were good men and they knew the Lord. It was between me and God, and I had to have a desire that I wanted for myself, separate from everything else. This world had to go away. It had to be me and him. I'm glad I didn't say no. I was given that option, but I didn't take it. And that's the best decision, the best thing that ever happened to me. There is never, ever anything We have a lot of good things that happen in our lives, but they'll never nothing take place in your life that'll take the place of the Lord's in your soul. It is crucial. It is crucial. I'm looking to go home someday to that paradise, which is, oh, it's going to be a great normal, isn't it? It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be there in fellowship with my God in a perfect body. I won't have sin to draw me away. I won't have the things of this world that so easily besets me, that pulls me away. I'm going to be able to walk in perfect harmony with God. Now, I'm seeing these things, and I know this brother here said it and others, but I want us this evening, please, 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 let that sink in. Think about what that means. Just don't let that go over the top of your head and think, well, there, that beautiful statement's made again. But please, take it in tonight. What does that truly mean? The Lord has saved our soul and we are heaven bound. Please, this evening, let this evening be the evening that you find the Lord. I want to end with this before we have an altar call. We have the option to say, I don't want to. I'm not going to. Do you know the perfect sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He had that same option. He had that same option to say, I don't want to. I ain't going to do this. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't. Do you understand what love he had? He went through one of the most cruel deaths that ever become on a man. I wouldn't have survived the beating that he had before he went to the cross. He had every reason in the world to say, I ain't doing this. This is not my cup of tea. I am not. I'm going to run from this. Can you imagine what it was like? I mean, he was beat beyond recognition before they even hung him to the cross. Yeah, he could have said no, but he didn't. And why? Because of the love. A love for you, sinner friend, tonight that you'll never understand. You'll never be able to comprehend it in our carnal minds. I don't comprehend it. The love that God has for me. But I got to experience a little bit of it when he saved my soul. But I know that it is just a touch of what heaven's going to be like when I can just walk with him in perfect fellowship, perfect harmony, with not the sins of the world pulling me away, walking with him one-on-one. Think about that. Sinner friend, think about that. That's available to you tonight. A perfect world. We talk about, you know, all the things that's going on. There is perfection available for us. Heaven is perfect. God is perfect. All things about it is perfect. There is nothing altered, nothing bad about it in no shape or form. It's available. It's available. Because he loved us so much. He is still today as he was in the beginning of time, reaching out and pleading for lost souls to come to him. Pleading. We got to see it in just the last few weeks, just the last week. He's still saving. He's not going to stop. He ain't going to stop until God the Father tells him to come back and get my children. He's going to be saving. And tonight is no different. Brother Corey, let's get a song. And I'd like to give an opportunity. Please, tonight, I'm telling you, come and experience. Come and experience that love that the Father has for you. You have been given a warning tonight. In the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about the watchman setting a watch. You have been warned tonight, and if you refuse this warning, Your soul will require of your hands. Our hands, my hands will be clear. It doesn't mean that you're not going to still go to hell. You heard the message. You heard the truth. What will you do with it? As we sing. Do you know the Lord tonight? Do you want to know Him? Is it important to you? Or are you going to say, I don't want to? Is that going to be your turn tonight? I don't want to. I don't desire the Lord. I don't desire to have that perfect friend. I don't desire to have unity with a precious God that loves me, that is with outstretched hands wants me. Why would you not want that? Why would that not be something that would be appealing to you? Why not? By your actions, you have said, no, I'm not going to. I pray before it's too awful, too late, that is going to change within your life.